Probably we're already live, but let me just wait a minute until it says so. And
mine says so.
Does it say we're live now?
Mine says webcam.
Oh, is now. Here we go. Let's go. Hello. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Angie Atkinson, and I'm here with the lovely and talented Lise Colucci, my fellow coach from queenbeing.com. She is once again so graciously filling in for Dana on Tuesday today. And when Dana does come back, or sooner, we will also be doing Friday streams together. Yay. So welcome back, everybody. Hello, hello. And Lise, thank you for being here. I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So as we are getting started, let me just say hello to everybody. Let me kind of go through the usual business. First of all, if you are interested in being invited to this stream or any stream that I do, you can text Angie Live, all one word, to 33222. While you're at it, please also text Lise Live, all one word, LISELIVE, to 33222 so that Lise can let you know when she goes live with or without me. She has a great channel here on YouTube called Lise Colucci Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Support, and I will link that in the description and in the video when this goes live later. All right, what else do I need to tell people? Well, anyway, we'll figure it out. Welcome to our Moz Squad, and thank you for being here. Let us go ahead and get started. So today we thought we would talk about reinventing yourself after a toxic relationship with a narcissist. Because for so many of us, we come out of, I mean, I would guess most of us come out of this relationship being a shell of what we once were. Mm-hmm. And if we were also raised by narcissists, which I was, and I think a lot of people around here have been, we might not even know exactly who we are anyway, right? And so we sort of have to create ourselves or reinvent at the very least, right?
Yeah.
For me personally, and I think also for you, Lise, right? Mm-hmm. I had to kind of go, wait a minute, who am I anyway? you know, because I didn't know. I thought I knew before I met my ex, but I didn't, not really. And then it took a long time for me to figure that out. So what are some of the things, at least just, oops, sorry, just out of curiosity.
I think that what you're saying here is also anytime you're making change in your life, a big change, even a little change, anytime you want forward motion in your life or you want something better for yourself, there is a reinvention that happens. And so while it can feel like, oh, I'm a survivor, oh my gosh, now I have to do this thing, it's actually a good thing. Yeah. To be able to reinvent your life is,
oh, yeah,
the positive side. And it's it's what can come out of having been treated the way you've been treated and made to feel like that shell, is now you get a chance to blossom and to be who you really are.
Yeah.
Without anyone, you know, telling you you're wrong. Except for the words, yeah, in your own head. So I think what that would come to is getting those words out of your head that tell you you can't.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know what else I think? I love what you said about it being kind of a good thing, because mm-hmm. I really don't think that every single human on this planet ever has the opportunity to take a look at themselves in the mm-hmm. same way that we do, unfortunately for us. But this is the silver lining for me, right, mm-hmm. of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. When you go through a situation like this that is so profoundly life-changing and self-changing, you end up not exactly a blank slate. Of course, you've got your trauma and all your other stuff that you have to deal with, but you get this chance to sort of start over when you're ready to mm-hmm. decide who you want to be, to literally just choose, okay, this is what I want my life to be, and to start creating that. And a lot of people think, but I don't have any money, or I don't have any this or that or whatever. But every tiny step you take toward being who you want to be can really lead you into this whole new world. And it starts, I think, with basic stuff like believing in yourself. It sounds so overplayed, right? But self-esteem, self-confidence, you start there, I think.
Lise, did you have... Yeah, trust in yourself, which is the one place you can learn to place trust. A lot of people say, I'll never trust again. I'll never trust another person. I can't even trust friends. Like that whole thing comes into play. And then how can you reinvent yourself when you can't trust the world? Well, but what you can learn is to trust yourself. You can learn to trust your empathic intuition. You can learn to entrust your your responses to things, your gut feeling, all of that, which gives you confidence and all the things Angie was just talking about. And again, it is, like you said, tiny little movements forward. Yeah. When you look back a year later, you see how far you've come.
So true. It's so true. I know, Lise, you said that you started, didn't you? I don't know if you did Pilates before or after, but did you?
Both, but it was more focused after.
Yeah.
In a way that was like, I actually did it for myself, not just for exercise. Like it became more empowering somehow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like exactly what you said, the intuition factor, like learning to trust yourself and your own intuition. This is interesting because a lot of narcissists, from what I've seen in my own life, as well as the lives of my clients and people here on YouTube even, is they, you know, the gaslighting and all of the stuff that they do to you, it causes you to start to doubt your own intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you know somewhere deep down that, okay, I'm just playing this game with this person because this is what they need me to do in order to not hate me or whatever, you still question yourself constantly. And you get to this place, I did anyway. I got to a place where I literally didn't even know if I could make a decision by myself, a simple mm-hmm. decision, like, what am I going to make for dinner? Yep. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah. And I think that's incredible. Now, wait a minute. I see this from Hufflemom, who says, one of my therapists said something profound that I thought fits this subject pretty well. You don't have to be grateful to your abuser. Be grateful for the situation and how it strengthened you. 100%.
Yep.
I absolutely agree with that. And I think that's what this is all about. So when I say to you, you know, here's the silver lining, I'm not saying, oh my gosh, this is the best thing that ever happened. It's the worst thing that ever happened to most.
It's unfortunate that you've had to come to this silver lining.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But you have two choices. You can remain in that victim place forever mm-hmm. if you want to. And that, by all means, if that's what you choose. Personally, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. And I want to always be striving toward being better, a better version of me, not a better version of anyone else. You know what I'm saying? And so who are you is the question. Right. Who do you choose to be? And I think because so often we have been told, this is who you are, by the narcissist, by our parents, by our teachers, you know, the world, whatever. We have this opportunity. This is kind of interesting and maybe a little bit of a branch, but you know, this Gen Z, mm-hmm. they have this interesting thing where they really all seem to think that they get to decide who they are
from a very young age, don't they?
On a profound level. And it's pretty shocking sometimes.
Yes.
You know, I'm a Gen Xer. So are you, right, Lise?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think maybe a lot of us here are millennials or Gen Xers as well. But I think, and maybe a few boomers too, I think what we have going on is maybe because we are raising, or some of us are raising this generation, or they're our grandchildren or whatever they are, you know, maybe it's because we went through this. I don't know. But I see an interesting thing with that generation that I didn't see with us. And I see it growing, right, mm-hmm. with survivors especially. But I guess I would ask everybody here, what was the first sign for you that you wanted or needed to reinvent who you were? Let's have everybody answer that in the chat while you're here. And if you're watching this on the replay, please put it in the comments below. Okay, Lise, what do you think was your first sign that you were you needed to reinvent yourself?
It's interesting because I think for me, I didn't know that there was something that needed to be reinvented, or that there even was a way to, do you know what I'm saying? Like it mm-hmm. was just so stuck in survivor mode. That yes. It literally is how I function. And it is where I will go if I'm not continually looking at the present time and the future kind of at the same time.
Mindfulness.
It's mindfulness. Yeah, there you go. And yeah. Mindfulness and believing in myself, like you said, that's, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. that's, oh, how do you talk about that? Because what does that even mean? Right.
Very good question. So there's the literal, like, I believe I can do this, of right. course, but it goes so much deeper, right?
Because way deeper. Yeah.
Yeah. Because so often we have like these voices in our heads that are going, you can't do it, you're not good enough, blah, 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 right?
Don't exist. Like, there's the voice that a lot of us have that we don't actually have a place in this world. We don't exist, right. That it has been programmed into our brains. So,
right. Yeah. And so you have to find it within yourself. It took me way too long to recognize I was a whole person of my own.
There you go. Yeah.
Right. It really, yeah. So it's almost like we have to self-actualize at 30, 40, 50, 60 years old or whatever, whenever
we finally. It doesn't matter. Right. It doesn't matter if you're 20 or you're 70.
That's right.
I'm talking to people who are 80 some years old who just figured this out. And you know how fast they thrive?
Quick.
Yes. Yeah. Because there's no time. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I think I just stopped.
Yeah. But you're totally on point there. And I think there are a lot of different, I'm just kind of looking at the chat here. Sorry about that.
No, go ahead.
I think there are a lot of people in that same boat. Mm-hmm. As Suze points out, hey, Suze, after leaving, I think I need time to figure out who I am. I'm 51 and I've really never been on my own or mm-hmm. left to my own devices. Mm-hmm. And I need to take baby steps. I hear that more often than you would think, lady. I really do. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem is not only does society tell us that who we are, but like I said, growing up, you're told who you are. And so during those formative years of your life, somebody said, you're this, you're that, you're whatever. For me, it was, you know, you're not good enough. You're not this, you're whatever. You're lazy, you're whatever. But I think recognizing, you know, recognizing that you choose, that didn't come for me until much later. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that was an option.
Exactly.
Right?
Uh-huh. I think seeing it as an opportunity instead of a problem is also,
yes,
it's a mind perspective shift that can sometimes take a while to get to. But once Absolutely. That clicks over, you're like, oh,
exactly.
there's a life. Okay, I get it. Yeah.
I totally get it. And you know, when I was like 35 or something, I had this moment of clarity and I just realized all of a sudden, oh my gosh, this I really deserve to be treated with love and respect. Mm-hmm. But before that, I didn't know. I was like, oh, I'm so lucky somebody's being nice to me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think we have to discover our value as a human mm-hmm. in this process. And I think every human has value. If they're breathing and walking on the planet, you have some value, or even rolling around, whatever, you know what I mean?
You're on the planet. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, figuring out who you are, it's definitely not easy. As What's for Tea Hey says, I was forgetting the things I once loved and who I even was anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Same.
Can I say something to that one real quick? Because please. Sometimes people say that, those words, I forget what I loved. And then there's another side of it where you can't feel the things you mm-hmm. love anymore. Like maybe you love going for walks in the sunshine and you go for a walk in the sunshine, and it doesn't feel the same anymore. So when you have when you've had to shut down and dissociate and all of that from the things going on in a toxic relationship, all of your emotions shut down.
Yes.
So you don't just get to dissociate from the bad. It actually dissociates you from all of your feelings.
Yeah.
Slowly you become that shell. So know that that will wake up as you keep doing the things that you used to love.
That's so important. And you're
so
right.
It's important. And it's not going to fit. That is that's the fake it till you make it time, which I don't like that mindset, except for things like this.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that there's a concept or a condition they call anhedonia, which is very similar. I believe that we develop this when we go through and dissociate as long as we do. You know what I mean? Because for me, like I think I've mentioned before, dissociation was how I escaped the crap, the verbal mm-hmm. stuff. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So I would just glaze over. And unfortunately, that has become and it still is, I have to be careful. Mm-hmm. stress response. Like if I'm stressed out, I'm like,
what?
And there's so much behind that. And if you think about how so many of us are diagnosed or not with ADHD, I was diagnosed around the same age I had that realization. I think that there's a real possibility that ADHD is connected, but we'll talk about that another day. I've talked about that a lot in the past. Anyway. Yeah. So Hufflemom says, I think after the ex and I broke up, I didn't realize I needed to reinvent myself until I got a response letter from him calling me all sorts of abusive names. That's when I knew I had to love myself. Mm. I mean, right? That's it. That's it. And I think that's an interesting kind of moment of self-awareness there for you, Hufflemom, because I know for me personally, I don't know that that would have caused me to feel that way. I think that would have caused me to just, at certain points in my life, it would have caused me to just fall down further. However, I think there, you know, at the right moment, if it hits the right way, you can certainly develop that. Yeah, I definitely, well, that's actually a valid point because, you know, I was just thinking that moment that I talked about a minute ago where I was 35 years old and had a sudden realization, it came out of a moment of despair that was a little different than that, but definitely a similar one where somebody accused me of something I didn't do. So, and then I kind of like suddenly was hit with this awareness.
Like, I deserve to be treated better than this. Wait a minute.
Suddenly. Yes.
Suddenly. Yeah.
Crazy. Anyway. Yes. Okay. I lost my place in chat again, but what are your thoughts about the, have you experienced the, I guess you have probably with the anhedonia thing where you kind of just can't feel any joy. You kind of mentioned. Yeah. And do you find that with a lot of your clients that you see that as well sometimes?
I do. But I do see it come back as they try, as they work through. Often it's just finally accepting the grief that comes with this and allowing yourself to feel certain things. Sometimes we've done exercises of like tracking emotions and actually paying attention to what you feel for microseconds. Cause that's usually all you feel when you're in that state. It's like,
that's right.
I had a feeling, oh, push it away quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes I still feel like, what's the point of emotions? But I,
they're so annoying if we would just not have them.
It was time for this, but I still, but I do intentionally make myself slow down and feel the feelings now. It took me a long time to get there. And that was really my biggest mistake in recovery before. Can you relate to that?
Totally can relate to that. Yeah.
I think I mentioned last week that I kind of discovered the law of attraction right around the same time that all this stuff started to come to me. So I just thought, I don't need to feel anything. Yay. Didn't work that well.
Doesn't work like that. I know. Well, I think people also get what they call stuck. I hear that a lot too from people. I'm stuck. What are you stuck? I don't know. I'm just stuck.
I did.
Yeah. I think I have never heard of a survivor, honestly, that comes for help, not say those words at a certain
point. I agree. Yeah. I personally have been stuck many times too.
Oh yeah. It's a cycle. It's a cyclical thing in your life. And I think it's the point where, you know, change needs to happen, but you're not sure which way to go.
Yes. Do you know what I like to call that?
What?
I like to call it an existential crisis. Existential crisis. Yeah. And I do that because for me, I think it sounds cooler, but also, but really, I feel that way because it is for
it
me.
It is.
You know what I mean?
It is, I think, for a lot of people. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used to say that I know something's about to happen. It's on the tip of my soul. I just can't get it yet. And that sounds silly and dramatic, but I did, because it even happens to me now. Sometimes I'm like, oh, here it comes. Something's coming. I can feel it. Because you go through kind of a dark night of the soul thing. Right. Mm-hmm. And then well, at least me, you too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It gets dark in there.
Right.
Right. I think that's normal. I think we're the reason narcissists don't just use us and throw us away, which they would do, is because we have this depth.
Yes.
And they want it and they can't get it. So they use us for it until we don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've said almost the same thing, except I use the word light instead of depth, but it's all the same thing.
It is. Yeah.
Yep. It's the same reason they get mad at you at parties and more people talk to you than them. Or is that just my ex? Anyway. Okay. Let's see here. Mary, wait a minute. My favorite Mary says, I got to the point where it was exhausting for me to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. There's that too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's still, you know, every now and then I'm pretty good at decisions now. But you know, certain types of decisions. I'm a researcher and a thinker, but I will check with people sometimes if I think someone is an expert in an area or whatever, you know. But in general, I'm pretty good at it. I always know what kind of ice cream I want. Anyway, okay. Any thoughts on the exhausting for making decisions,
Lisa? It sounds like overwhelm to me. Like, yeah. You get to the point of overwhelm, and generally we have to simplify in order to get through those phases of overwhelm. It's
absolutely,
and know you're overwhelmed and honor it and be like, wow, I'm just overwhelmed right now. I don't think I'm going to make a decision. I think I'm going to just eat the ice cream and then decide next time. I should have probably had that one. I'll get that one next time. You know, like I think we get overwhelmed and we think every decision is critical.
Right.
Whoa.
That's yeah. Weird. Well, like they, what?
The connection got crazy and you jumped all over the place that on my end.
Oh, that is, am I good now? Is it better?
It's lagging. Now it is. It was lagging. Like you were behind. You were ahead of me and then behind me and then ahead of me. And
oh,
like, what's yeah. happening? I can't make a decision.
I got a little bar on my screen saying it was an internet connection was unstable for a minute.
Okay. There we go. And now we're fine. Okay. Yeah.
Good. Let's see. Okay. So Jacqueline says, Gen Z can really get me feeling like they're older somehow and more self-aware. It's so confusing. Sometimes they are, I think. Okay. Let me talk about that really quick. I know this isn't exactly what we're talking about, but let me talk about it. So it turns out that all three of my kids are Gen Z. The oldest is the very earliest Gen Z and the youngest is among the youngest Gen Z. They're 10 years apart, the oldest and the youngest, okay? And then there's one in the middle. and I would say this, my feeling is that it's because two things. First of all, I don't think they're as self-aware as we would like to believe that they are sometimes on certain stuff. I think some of them have too much time to think. However, I do think they're more self-aware than we were at their age, some of them, because there are certain things that we didn't think about because nobody told us to think about them. Like, for example, our sexuality. Like growing up, I never needed to decide, was I a girl or a boy? I never needed to decide, was I straight or gay? I just was straight. I happened to be straight. So I got lucky, right? Straight, cis, whatever they say. Okay. But the only people that did think about it in our generation, in my opinion, are the people who weren't straight cis, right? Mm-hmm. But now every single one of these Gen Z kids, they've all gone through the process. Am I straight? Am I gay? Am I a boy or a girl?
Interesting.
And I think that's interesting. Mm-hmm. What do you think about, I mean, my
it's
point
interesting. Is- Yeah, it is. And I think they have the language that we didn't have, and they have the ability to research anything they want at the drop of, you know, the touch of their finger anywhere they want.
Yeah.
So it's almost so much information going in, and I wonder where they are slipping. In other words, looking mature in one respect, and then where is that place where they didn't do the healing? Well, right. you know, where they found LOA and didn't.
Right.
Right. We'll see.
We'll see.
We all have something each generation, but.
But yeah. It does. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like, you know, to each their own, whatever, but I definitely, there's definitely a huge difference in this generation, in my opinion, compared to even.
Yeah.
I mean, there is in every generation, right? But this one is, we'll see. I think it's not a bad thing. Let me just put that out there. It's not a bad thing, but it's always interesting to watch humans evolve. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I like this. Huffle Mom says one of the things I found useful in rediscovering myself is to keep a list. And mm-hmm. I'm trying to see her. Okay. She said, oh wait, I missed that part. But anyway, what she's talking about, I believe, is a list of things she likes about herself and compliments that people give her. Mm-hmm. And I personally, I think that's a great idea. I've had people keep similar lists before, the clients and people in the groups and stuff like this, because this this helps you to sometimes see things about yourself that you might not otherwise see, right? Mm-hmm. And to recognize, like, if you hear somebody tell you 10 times, you know, you gave me some really great advice. Well, you might think, you know, 10 different people, even you might think, well, maybe I'm good at giving advice. Mm-hmm. I didn't know, you know, yeah. Or, tell me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. Oh, no, I was agreeing with you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then the same thing for like, if you're, you know, a bunch of people tell you you're pretty or you're a good speaker or you're good at math. I don't know what people are good at. You know my point. Mm-hmm. I'm not good at math. I mean, I can do math. I just don't enjoy it. I always think you're better at things that you enjoy. Is that just me?
Well, usually. Yeah. It's unfortunate when you're really good at something you don't like. That's a sad state.
That is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But you know, I always like things more when I'm good at them. Although I love to sing and dance and I'm terrible at both of those. So
okay, yeah.
That's why I don't do that professionally. Be one of many other reasons. But anyway. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think a list is good, and it you said something. Oh, I think it also can help people have the validation they need, because I think it is. Okay, so we need to internally validate. We need that internal locus of control. We need to be able to like feel and see for ourselves where we are good, where our worth is, right? We know this. And we're told this over and over again, self-validate, self this. We're also human, and humans are kind of pack animals. You know, we need the external validation as well. We just need to find it and seek it in healthy ways from healthy people.
Yes. You're absolutely right. And the other thing, the self-validation thing, that for me, it's a really good point you brought up, because for me, it is what I think maybe it was the final step into, mm-hmm. okay, I'm a whole person now. I get it. Mm-hmm. And I think, right. It's hard to get there.
It takes a long time, and it takes, and then certain parts of your life, you can get there, and other parts of your life, you can't sometimes for a long time. And yeah, mm-hmm. So I think the list is a great idea, because it does give you that validation.
It really does.
Especially if it's from someone that has ever looked you in the eye that you trust and said, if only you could see yourself the way I see you.
Mm, I know.
Right? Then anything they say, write it down. Because as long as they're good people.
Right. As long as they're good. And they mean that in a good, positive way.
In a positive way, not in a way to, yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Shastina, I'm sorry that you're having a hard time. Please let us know what's going on. Faith, hello. I just want to say hi to you. Faith emails me back almost every day when I send out her an email. So I just want to say hi to you, Faith. Okay. Kimmy says, seeking out answers from others. And I think she's talking about, seeking out answers from everyone. What is she talking about?
I don't know.
I thought. Kimmy, let me know what you're talking about. I'm not sure what you're referring to. Maybe it's the list. I don't know. Here we go. Mary says, when I came to the realization that putting others' feelings and needs before mine was not normal. That's when she realized that she needed to start to reinvent herself. Mm-hmm. That is powerful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, here's the thing. So there are times when it might be appropriate to temporarily put someone else's feelings or needs before your own. Mm-hmm. And what I mean is, and I probably shouldn't, but like your children, sometimes you have to put their feelings at under 18. You have to, right. And I'm just being real, because I don't really, I think when they're 18 or when they're adults, because sometimes kids aren't adults at 18. When they are adults, then, you know, you at least have to put your needs next to theirs, if not above theirs, mm-hmm. right? You can't pour from an empty cup anytime, though, is the thing. And so you always have to prioritize yourself. And there are situations where it might not be appropriate for you to tell someone your entire truth, but that might be, you know, because they can't get it or because they're not in the right place to hear it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in general, if you don't, you know, like in the airplane, they tell you to put your mask on first, even before your baby, right? That's right, because if you're not breathing, you can't help anyone else breathe, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a powerful realization that, you know, I deserve XYZ as well. I deserve to feel whole. I didn't even know I deserved nice things until I was way older than I should have been. Like, right.
And it's funny, because when you're there, sometimes you don't even realize that you don't feel that you don't deserve nice things. It's not right. Like you're sitting there in your head going, I don't deserve nice things.
Right.
You just don't acquire nice things. You don't attract nice things. You don't, you know, all of that. And then that's when you realize, oh, I actually I deserve it.
Right.
I think what we're talking about here is, it's not just reinventing yourself as in, I am now going to be a florist and going out and, you know, it's literally a journey inside and discovering who you are so that you can create from that space a life.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And knowing that other people don't define you is yep. I think, the next, right?
Yep.
That was a huge one for me too. Just being like, wait, I get to decide this stuff. I mean, that, yeah. Okay. Oh, and another thing for me. Okay. Maybe this will be something that you can recognize as well. Is growing up, I could not be what I was told that I was.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't me. I couldn't be it. I tried really hard to please the person who told me who I was. I never could. And I never could be exactly what they said I was. And so I thought, something is intrinsically wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it turned out that the person I actually am is okay. There's nothing wrong with that person. I mean, there are a few things, but nothing major.
There know? Wasn't a few things. It'd be nothing to do all day.
Exactly. You know, we're always evolving, right?
Right. We have to.
Yeah. But that's my point, is that it's okay. And I, this is what I came to for myself when I started this whole thing, trying to figure out, like, who was I? What did I want in life? All that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I had to say to myself, okay. And I lied to myself a little bit at first, but that's the whole thing. But I had to say to myself, you know what? You're okay right now in this moment. You love yourself. I love myself for who I am right now in this moment. Even though there are things I might want to change about myself, I'm going to unconditionally accept myself mm-hmm. right now mm-hmm. in this moment. And if I'm okay. You know what I mean? And it yep. sort of started there.
Yeah. That's the biggest, that's the best kind of self-love you can have.
Yes.
It's just, it's not even like, I'm so wonderful. And so it's just mm-hmm. literally almost boring acceptance.
Yes.
Just,
like, okay.
I am. It's all right. It's all right. Good. And yeah.
Right.
And
we'll,
yeah.
Yeah. So for example, I was going to say, like, I used to have 3 C-section scars. Now I have 1. Because on the last one, they just sewed it all up in 1. but it's not cute or whatever. But do I care? Nope. Do I accept it? Yep. I'm okay with it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And when you accept things that you cannot change, or even things that you can change, you give yourself permission, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a time in my life that unless I looked absolutely perfect, I would not ever go out in public or even, God forbid, appear on video. I would have never appeared on video in the past. I don't have a video look, right? But today I am on here with some really crazy unstraightened hair. I'm good with it because it's humid outside, y'all.
Yep.
But I accept it. And, you know, a lot of people say to me, you know, well, if you're so self-accepting, then why do you color your hair? Well, guess what? I color my hair because I look less like my mother this way.
And you're, you know, welcome. What? You're allowed to make change, and you're allowed yeah. to play, and you're allowed to, it just, accepting yourself doesn't mean sitting like in stasis, being the same.
No. Right. You can be who you want to be. Is
you
the
can
thing.
Be who you want to be. And if one minute it's this, then another minute you don't want to wear makeup, don't.
That's so, right. And sometimes I don't.
Right. It's accepting the core of who you are. Not so much. I think what we realize when we get further along, like you're talking about in self-discovery and is it isn't really the external things.
Mm-mm.
So who cares if you color your hair? It's
that's
who,
right.
who you are on the inside.
Yeah, that's yeah. right. That's really powerful. And that's really true. And when I'm talking about the examples I'm using, it's because they're surface examples people can easily relate to.
Exactly. And that's where we start. That is where yeah. we start. Because that's where we see the lack of self. We don't look and say, oh, I don't like my thighs.
Right.
That means I'm not worthy of eating the food on my plate. That's because I don't deserve to be a human. We don't think that. We just think I don't like my thighs. So we start right. on the outside and work our way back in, change the internal belief. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly your thighs aren't so bad. You know,
that's right.
Yeah. No,
that's right. That's something I've learned the hard way. And I hope everybody here can hear this when I say this, that when you get to that point where you can't hate yourself happy. You can't
right.
hate yourself thin or healthy or anything else good.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. I tried for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Work, right? How many of us?
It would be so easy if it worked, because we could just, yeah.
We'd all be perfect if that happened. I mean, I see. And, you know, the older I get, the more I realize I literally have 0 F's to give about people who aren't on my team.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, anybody who's anti whatever I'm doing, I don't hate them. I just don't see them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
They're indifference. There's no time.
Right.
There's no time in what we're doing when we're trying to hate ourselves happy and hate ourselves thin and hate ourselves into good relationships is we're having a toxic relationship with ourselves.
That's right.
And we're repeating, we're self-gaslighting, we're doing all the horrible things that have been done to us back to ourselves.
Yes.
Because that's because our brains are programmed to think that way.
Yeah. But almost like, come on.
Oh, no, but you can change it is all I'm saying. And it's active. It's an active change, not just sitting there waiting for it to happen.
100%. Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah. And I think that's such a huge shift as a human, as a person. And, you know, what you can do is you can like yourself and love yourself healthy. You can love yourself better, you know, thinner, happier, whatever it is. I mean, I go through my phases where I love myself thinner and I love myself thicker. Okay. Back forth here and there, but that's okay because I've accepted that this is what I have to deal with. You know what I mean? And if I want to like eat all the things I want to eat, I'm going to have to love myself thicker. And if I want to just slow down a little bit and take better care of my body, well, then I'll love myself thinner. But all the times between there, here and there, I have to still love myself.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
You can't divorce yourself and walk away.
Right. And if you do.
Yeah. You're pretty checked out and that we need to come back. Talking about the opposite of what we're talking about here, which is.
Yeah. We don't want that.
We don't want that. No.
Right. Let's see here. So we have, now Mary says that her therapist told her that putting others' needs in front of her own was not.
Sorry, I coughed and made you cough.
It's not helping, ironically. Okay, but that's really true. It is. And now,
putting others' needs before yourself, I missed what you said.
She said her therapist told her that it was not healthy putting others' needs in front of her own. And I think that's, okay, I think that's true. I do think that when you have children, especially little children, you do have to sometimes put their needs before your own. I can't tell you how many times I needed to sleep and had to get up to feed a baby, but anyway. So I'm just being practical there, right? And of course, there are times when I have my own personal wants and needs and I have to put them aside for a moment to take care of my kids. However, the older they get, the less that happens. And on the flip side of that coin, I think outside of your children, that's 100% true. And even with your children, again, you can't pour from an empty cup. You have to prioritize yourself and your own wants and needs, you know, up to a point. Do you have thoughts on that? I know we kind of already touched on it.
Well, it's an interesting one because on your own, if you're single, if you're, you know, dealing with people external from your in-home family life, like your friends and family, absolutely 100% boundaries are important and your own needs to come first. If you're talking about trying to have a healthy relationship with another person in a home together where you're living together, where there's a lot of needs going on between two people, I think that yes, your needs need to be high on the list, but then there's also compromise. And so, but that takes time to learn if you're a codependent person or if you're a people pleaser, how to do that in a way where you're not accommodating and sacrificing your needs in order to give the other person a chance to have their needs met. So I think in a healthy relationship, there's room for give and take with needs, just as there is with children. But that means healthy relationship, and that means getting over your codependent traits and your people-pleasing traits in order to get there. So it's work. Yeah.
100%. It's hard work, but it's worth it. Yeah. Sam says, I'd like to share something and get your input. I work for my mother and she's a narcissist. When the pandemic hit, we stopped working for 8 months. It was the best 8 months of my life. I couldn't figure out why. And I think it's because I was away from my mother. I long for that feeling again. Maybe I need to quit. Sam, if your mother's a narcissist and you felt so amazing when you were away from her for 8 months, I think you already have the answer, my friend. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no way in an itchy double hockey sticks I would ever work with my mother. You know, it would kill me. It would kill me if I had to work for her. I can't imagine.
Well, yeah, if you're working for a narcissist is one level of bad. Working for a narcissist who's also one of your parents would be so much and so difficult to even like have a healthy work environment.
100%.
Or impossible. Yeah.
Yeah. No question. That's a tough one, but that's, there's, I think you've got your answer. I would put your resume together and get moving, buddy.
Yep. Yeah, like when you see the contrast, mm-hmm. when you're offered the opportunity of contrast, whatever that is, and during that time you had this fantastic opportunity to see contrast, meaning, oh, when I'm away from it, it contrasted with, oh, when I'm in it and how those feel, then your answer's right in front of you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Hi, Peggy. Okay. Angela says, our worth and value is not determined by anyone but you. Yes, by you, not me, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm just clarifying.
Angie.
I am not the one. No, I think you're all worthy and valuable.
That's right. No, nobody. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely right. And hi there. Good to see you again. Okay. Let's see. Jack, thank you for encouraging our fellow survivors. I always appreciate you. Michelle says, it's like I got so, ooh, this is an interesting way that you put this. I like this so much. Michelle says, it's like so much got erased. I'm not sure who I am. Mm-hmm. I've been there. I will tell you, you're great with words. I think that's a situation. I felt sort of similar to that, like I had been erased, but I didn't even really know for myself. But I do understand that feeling of losing pieces of yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I used to always be a very loud and, you know, happy, you know, person before I met my ex. And then I met my ex. And over time, I realized I became almost an introvert, and I am not by nature a total introvert. I mean, I have my introvert moments. I think I've talked before, I'm an ENFP, but I'm like really, really close to E and I, I'm like 52, 48 or something, like, you know, some 51, 49, something like that percents. But I was told that I was being too loud, or why are you yelling, when I was just excited or happy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I got quieter, and, you know, yeah. Do you want to talk on being erased or feeling erased?
Feeling erased. Sometimes when that happens, it's like maybe for a little while trying not to, now that she's asking for how to unerase, but I'm going to say it anyway. sometimes it is not trying to reclaim yourself. It's trying to discover yourself. So in other words, try things you've never tried before, try something new, try just, even if you think you might hate it, try it, see what it feels like to hate it, you know, because then you discover, oh, I really don't like that. There's something I know about myself. So, and then what happens is you start to wake up to the things that were erased.
Oh, so true. Sorry, I had myself muted. Okay. Absolutely true. Okay, I want to touch on this comment from Belle, but first I'm going to come back to, hi Belle, it's good to see you again. First, I'm going to come back to Sam, because we just talked to Sam a little while ago about his mom, or her mom, I'm not sure, their mom. Sam says, can working with my mom subconsciously mess me up, even though I think I block out the negative comments from her? Of course. Mm-hmm. I think what happens is, you know, her energy toward you is probably a little, I don't know, controlling, negative, unapproving, anything. Mm-hmm. Tell me if any of those sound familiar, but yeah. And she's giving you the negative comments. You know, you certainly can block out the negative comments. I'm saying if you have the ability to move on career-wise, then you should. Because yeah, it's kind of like, almost like brainwashing, right? Mm-hmm. Like there are positives in it. There was, you guys know about the fly lady, right? Some of you know, mm-hmm. about the fly lady. Well, I found her back in like 2003. Okay. And she was the first like influencer I ever followed on the internet, believe it or not. and I was trying to get, like, you know, I was on maternity leave with my now 17-year-old when I found her. And one of the things that she used to say is fly washing. And what that meant was, even if you're not doing the stuff I'm sending you, still read it.
Yeah.
Because it will help you. Mm-hmm. Because you'll start to subconsciously, and I did start to subconsciously shift because I was still reading it. That's why people watch narcissistic abuse recovery videos when they're nowhere near getting out yet. Yep. That's why they read the articles and all the things, right? Ooh, sorry. So I got a little carried away with the hands. So I think, yes, I think that's absolutely something that unfortunately can go the other way as well, right? Mm-hmm. Where you just stop you can be kind of subconsciously soaking in the negativity. Any thoughts on that,
Lise? Yeah, we are under the influence of our impressions that we take in life. Just as that's the way humans work. It's the way our brains work.
Yeah.
It's often the things that you are ignoring, that's what the subconscious is picking up. If you look at your dreams, you're picking up weird things from your day and weird things from your life that are just fragments of your day.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's living in the subconscious, is the parts that we're not processing in the conscious mind.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're absolutely picking it up. Mm-hmm.
Without question. I agree. Belle says to you, Lise, that's the predominant voice I hear every day. My therapist said to let go, but I don't believe that's what I needed. I need validation and compassion. I'm really lost now. I might lose home to spring. Oh, Belle, I'm so sorry. Any thoughts for Belle?
What she needs to let go.
Her therapist told her to let go, but she doesn't believe versus, that's what she needed.
Versus what did I say? I can't remember which part she was
talking. I'm not sure. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
But I think she's talking about.
I get lost with chat sometimes.
It's a lot, right? Well, we were talking about choosing to be who we were,
to let go of what other people have said, maybe.
I think maybe that's what she's talking about, and yeah.
That's tricky. How? That's what I always say when therapists say that to me. How do I let go? I'm not actually holding it. It's not here, you know, but I think there is, okay. So I've been talking to someone for a couple years, a client, and they hold on to a lot of things, just the nature of the way they think, the way they process, we all do. Okay. So it's nothing unusual in this person.
Right.
We all do this. They said to me, it clicked one day, relax, let go. It's like Angie was talking about earlier, how when the moment is right, that's when it will happen. And we can't force that. All we can do is do exactly what you said just a few seconds ago. Keep letting the influences in that are moving toward a positive direction. Keep listening, keep reading, keep focusing on that. The subconscious is listening.
Yeah.
And someday when it's right, boom, you'll be able to let go, hopefully. Right.
And. And I totally agree with that. And I also agree with what Belle says about needing validation and compassion, because that is, I think, life-saving for survivors, mm-hmm. right? Because knowing, oh my God, I'm not crazy. This is not my fault. And I know Belle's situation is especially unfortunate because she's stuck with physical health issues. And so I think that's, Belle probably could use all the, I'm sorry that you're going through this, Belle. She says she might lose her home.
I know, she's a sweetie, but
yeah. Mm-hmm. Belle, if you feel up to it, send us an email and let us know what's going on, and we'll see if there's anything we can maybe figure out for you or help you with.
Mm-hmm.
I can see if I can find some resources for you or something. I know Dr. Robin, who's our content partner at Queen Being, she and I have been talking about working on some kind of a program to sort of pull together funds. I mean, we're not all like millionaires or anything, or not even anywhere close, but we all, Lise has, I have, our other coaches have, and Dr. Robin has, this feeling of, we want to help anybody that we can. And we know that a lot of survivors find themselves in similar situations, or they feel stuck, they can't get out for different reasons. And a lot of those are financial. So we'll see what we can. It's not something we have together yet, unfortunately. It's just something we're spitballing and trying to figure out how to do it legally and safely. And we'll figure that out. Anyway, Sam says, oh, I already got Sam. Okay. Katie says she was cut off from family and friends. And I think that is.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go through that, right? Mm-hmm. The narcissist wants to control you in the relationship. So they, of course, anyone that might offer you emotional, financial, or other support, what are they going to do? They're going to try to alienate you from those people. Sometimes they do it directly by, causing a scene or telling that person to back off. Or sometimes, and this is what I experienced, it's more indirect. In some cases, friends were pushed away because the person would, subtly flirt with them and make me feel insecure, make little comments about how my friend flirted with them, which was never true. But that's what they acted like. And I would fall for it because I was stupid. Nope. I was just stuck in the mess.
You were just stuck in the pattern. Yeah.
Right. And then in other cases, like with my mother, she literally chose every man I've ever been with on some level, at least the ones that she met. And that's because she would either whatever, like when she was done with them, then she would start in my ear about all the things she thought was wrong. You know, why doesn't that guy ever keep the same job? Or why does this guy, you know, look at you with crossed eyes or some, wow, he had lettuce in his tooth for the whole meal. You know what I mean? like whatever she could think of to make me start to, and again, it was that brainwashing thing that we were talking to Sam about. Like it would just kind of just slowly in my ear start. And I'd be like, Mom, just stop. And then it would continue and continue until I find myself angry because she would, and I actually disconnected from my best female friend in the world for over 2 years because of my mother doing the same thing about her, because for some reason she felt threatened by this person. So she was in my ear, in my ear, in my ear. And what happened is one day the friend said something that triggered me because I remembered all the crap my mother put in my head and I couldn't be around her. I had to disconnect from her because I was going to lose my mind if I didn't, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then I realized that was the worst choice I had made in a long time. But it wasn't until I went no contact with my mother that I was able to even see it.
They get into everything. They just,
It's terrible. We are getting close to the time, right, Lise?
I think so. Yeah.
It's telling me again, for some reason, it's no longer updating me. It's still saying I started streaming a minute ago. So
doesn't say on my end. So I'm thinking
Okay. Oh, Jacqueline recognizes the dissociation thing as well. Oh, hey, Jen Archer. Yes. Okay, everybody. Jen Christian. Very cool. Okay, I'm going to stop. Hello, Rachel. Hello, Imogen, Shastina, everybody. Okay, we're going to wrap up because I think we're out of time right now. And I'm so sorry about that. But, Lise, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you more. Now, you guys, I need y'all to know something that Dana didn't let me know that she wasn't able to make it today until pretty close to our original streaming time. And so Lise was so kind. She had a client call and then she was kind enough to jump right on this session with me. So Lise, thank you so much. Actually, I made her wait. How about that? I had trouble with my camera. So I'm just really grateful that you were able to jump in here.
I always appreciate coming over here. So it's good.
So fun. Yeah. And here's another thing, you guys, I want to remind everybody, Lise, here I go again.
I'm going to hit mine next.
Okay. Yes. She works with me at queenbeing.com. We are partners over there. She also has her own channel right here on YouTube. She is the most amazing group coach I know about. And that's great because I'm not great at group coaching. I know you guys are shocked because I'm all scattery, but anyway, I'm really good at one-on-one. So is she. So if you are interested in learning more about Lise, you can go to queenbeing.com/LISE Lise, or you can just hop over to her channel, which again, I'll link here in the video as well as in the description below when this video goes live. Meanwhile, subscribe to this channel, subscribe to Lise's channel, hit the bell notification on both. That way you'll be notified when we go live or when we post new videos. You can also text Angie Live, all one word, and or Lise Live, all one word, LISELIVE to 33222 separately. Text them as two separate texts. Yeah. So that way we'll get them. Otherwise we only get them from the keywords. Okay. 33222. And then we'll text you 10 minutes or so, 5 minutes or so before we go live each time. Did I forget anything, Lise?
I don't think so.
Oh, if and when Dana comes back, which I believe hopefully will be next week, we'll see. She's kind of she's dealing with some stuff right now, but if she comes back, I'm going to say when she comes back, Lisa and I will move to Fridays. We may also start Fridays before that, but at least by then we will move to Fridays because we really have a good time together. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Lisa. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you too.
Thank you. And to Jen, Huffle Mom, Jack, thank you guys for being here. Our amazing mod squad. We love you all. Shastina, I might have to add you to this mod squad as well. I kind of thought you already were in the mod squad. We'll come back to that, but I know you're on Lisa's mod squad. So thank you so much, everybody. We will see, and thank you, Huffle Mom, for putting in those reminders. We love you guys. We will see you next week or sooner. Bye.
Bye.